Hi, this is Chris Cluey, and you're listening to the best threesome ever.
Welcome to Best Threesome Ever, a podcast discussing all things revolving around nerdy pop culture. Probably not what you were expecting, but it's just as fun. Now here are your hosts, Nick, Rob, and Kevin.
Okay, here we go. Best Threesome Ever, episode 43. This sponsored by Mind's Eye Comics in Eagan. I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
Sort of. I don't know where I was going with that. I lost track. I was staring at something.
It's like your brain went ahead and found a stop sign and decided to stop at that stop sign, but the rest of you kept the fuck going.
I was looking at Kesha's name, and somehow I just got lost in
key dollar sign ha, by the way.
Not anymore. She dropped the dollar sign.
It still shows up like that on the album, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. At least on mine.
I guess we
Which is weird, only on some tracks. I wonder if those are the ones that are specifically produced by them and the ones that she did herself.
I bet you're right.
Well, then why don't we start there? Why don't we start with Kesha's new album? You guys wanted to speak about this?
Oh, my God. So Kesha's new album, Rainbow, Rob and I are obsessed with.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's super good.
You guys,
This is a comeback album, guys. This is like Folsom Prison level comeback album.
Oh yeah,
don't go. To
no, comeback. No, no. This is like, oh god, I'm trying to think of another person who. This is What's Love Got to Do About It comeback levels. Tina Turner,
was that her?
It's do with it, not about it.
Whatever.
Was that her?
You knew it.
I was kind of hoping you would be like Chinese democracy or
something.
I can make fun of you for.
No.
But American Idiot. That's actually very good. That's a very good correlation. What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yeah, that album. It's a really good. Yeah, actually, it correlates really well considering.
This is not TikTok Kesha. This is a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll, and I'm 100% into it. Oh yeah, it's got it all, and every single track is phenomenal.
She does some collaborations with artists that no one does collaborations with, first of all. At least in the genre of, like, the commercial pop that she has been in for the last 10 years or whatever. She does a recording with the Dap Kings horn section, which is one of the best feminist anthems I've ever fucking heard.
For fucking real. Like, I cannot stop listening to it. So much so that I am going to do everything I can to get the licensing so that I can put it on the on an episode of The Lair. Because it's that good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I need it. And whatever I have to do. I think there might be a loophole where if I do not put that episode to any sort of profitization,
yeah,
I can use it.
Probably. It's probably true. But they... So she does a collab with the Dap Kings horn section. She does two tracks with Eagles of Death Metal.
She does, and then...
I like both, by the way.
Oh, both are absolutely perfect.
Although Boogie Feet is my favorite.
It's so good.
But she does some pop, like...
A little bit of country with Dolly Parton.
Okay. We're going straight to it. Let's fucking do this. Okay. Here's how I feel about that track. The track is Old Flames Can't Hold a Candle to You, and it is a duet with Dolly Parton. She gets on the mic and tries to out-Dolly Dolly and nearly succeeds.
It's quite impressive. And yeah. Like, the song starts with almost like this slow Johnny Cash-style strum to it.
Yeah. Very June Carter, actually.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. She goes real June Carter with her voice on that one.
It is great to hear, like, that style of voice up against Dolly Parton again, because we haven't heard that, first of all, since the 70s, like mid-70s Dolly. And then Dolly does like backup vocals for her during the first chorus, and it's, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, Dolly Parton is on the fucking track, and she is going toe-to-toe with her, and just holding her own, dare I say, winning in some cases. It is...
Kesha, you mean?
Yeah, Kesha. Kesha is holding her own, dare I say, winning. I don't know if you know this about me, but Dirty Secret Time, I am a huge Dolly Parton fan.
I think we've discussed this. Because we watched that Jolene that she did with Miley and Pentatonix.
Pentatonix, yes. Very good.
And we all collaboratively decided that Dolly Parton, even though she messed up that lyric, since she messed it up, that was the correct version.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe I have mentioned it then, that I'm kind of a huge Dolly Parton fan. I love her music. Mind you, I'm a kind of a big fan of 70s country, like the outlaw country style stuff.
Outlaw country, woo!
Like this genre, shut the hell up. but that whole, the 70s, like...
Back when country was good.
Well, no, okay. When country was just starting to transition to... like
less hillbilly.
I don't know if less hillbilly is an accurate term, because I love Waylon Jennings from the 50s and 60s.
When it was on its way to becoming...
When hee-haw was becoming mainstream. Popular.
Yeah.
And it's...
Loretta Lynn, Conway Twitty, that whole era of...
fucking Conway Twitty. But
also, Shooter Jennings, Willie, Johnny, Merle Haggard...
I've never terribly been into Willie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what. Shut up, Nick.
Sorry,
I didn't catch it the first time either.
God damn it, okay. Nelson, Willie Nelson, the stoner joke teller. I've never been a terribly big fan of his.
Yeah, he's got a few good ones.
Have you ever listened to the Highwaymen? That's the country supergroup.
Yeah, they're good.
I like the Highwaymen.
He did a good duo. He did a dude. Try that again.
You're pretty.
He did a good duet with Toby Keith.
No, he did not.
I liked it.
Heard it.
It was catchy. It was catchy, and therefore we thought it was good. I have listened to it since. It is not aged well. It is. The song is "Beer for My Horses."
I already hate it.
Yeah. As you should.
It was a good duet. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Regardless if it held up or not, it's a good duet. It's a good duet.
Anyways, so Kesha does a song with Dolly Parton, which is just amazing. And
I was gonna say that it's funny that you're a fan of the 70s country, and my like of country music didn't start until like the 90s. The 90s supergroup, Travis Tritt,
God, it's like
Garth Brooks,
this new age.
Not that, no, ass, not that,
no. And the new age fake ass country started in the 90s with fucking Garth Brooks.
No,
like after Friends in Low Places, it all went downhill from there. There's a couple of
He's the progenitor of
he absolutely is
current bro country.
He's the
proto bro country.
There's a couple of okay ones in there. I actually kind of like Gary Allen because he has a little bit of a rock edge.
Oh,
to him.
Sure, yeah.
Alan Jackson.
Drinking Dark Whiskey is such a good fucking song. But other than that,
I'm ashamed to say that I actually like some of Florida Georgia Line. But
see, that's the hip hoppy. Country stuff that I don't like.
Yeah, but it's like
Florida Georgia Line, Gloriana, all that whole genres.
Yeah.
That's where I draw the line of no. Is but Alan Jackson, Travis Tritt, Clint Black, they're all still country.
No.
Yeah.
No.
They really brought country way back into the mainstream more than but
see, and that's when it started becoming about Merca and support our troops and beer.
No, that was more Toby Keith and those guys.
They're the ones who brought it out, but I'm telling you, that is when it started.
We could argue about this all day, I think.
We probably could.
I'm just trying to think.
Most country sucks.
Most modern country sucks.
Most country sucks.
Most modern.
Most country sucks.
Sir.
All right, moving on. So Kesha.
So Kesha.
Drink.
Pick it up. For crying out loud, you can get a 2-month subscription to Amazon Music right now for nothing, and you can get the entire album with it. So.
Or go get a $10 Spotify premium subscription. You can download the album almost immediately.
Yeah.
It's so worth it. It transcends genre. Which I love, because there's some... Okay, we do have to talk about one song, because I know. But she goes from, like, her old sort of, like, trashy party pop roots. Like, in the beginning, there's a couple... Like, early on in the record, there's some sort of the trashy trashy party pop, and I'm not using trashy as an insult here.
It's almost like a new pop grunge.
Yeah, yeah. But she does a lot of that. That's like what all of her previous albums were. And there's like two or three songs on the album that are like that. So if you like that about Kesha, I recommend it.
But it's not quite to that level.
No, but Him for the Hymnless.
Oh my God!
Him, yeah, I'm sorry, it's actually called Him.
Yeah, it's just called Him.
Hymn is Hymn. The biblical spelling of Him.
H-Y-M-E.
H-Y-M-N, yeah. That is sort of, it's the closest to classic Kesha that we get. And then the rest is just this wonderful sort of neo-soul country and a little bit of indie.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of quirky, like,
couple
indie,
of songs
specifically on Godzilla.
Yeah, so there was another one, too, that for some reason I'm not remembering the name of. But there's a couple of songs that would go very well on, like, the Juno soundtrack.
Yeah, I was going to say, Godzilla reminds me a lot of Kimya Dawson.
Yeah.
And Moldy Peaches. But what is happening here? Just show me.
We'll get there.
okay, fine.
So I can show the class.
Yay.
So I can show the class.
So yeah, pick up the Kesha album. It is, I'm going to call it right now, it's a front runner for album of the year.
Which she's got to go up against, against Kendrick, so, you know.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
Also an incredibly good album.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, put it in your life.
All right, I will.
Okay, so any more about Kesha?
No. I mean, we can talk a lot about Kesha. But we didn't even cover the cover art.
Oh, we didn't. So, this didn't happen recently, but happened semi-recently, but they revealed photos of Cable from Josh Brolin as Cable.
Yep.
And, thoughts? I can already tell Rob doesn't like it.
No. Actually, I don't have. I'm pretty neutral on it.
He looks cable-y. He got super jacked. He looks good. I'm excited.
Yeah, he looks fine. I've never had much of a qualm about Josh Brolin being Cable.
I don't think any of us had, really. I thought
that was a good casting choice, and the photos that they've released for it.
I mean, I was still a little disappointed that wasn't Keira Knightley, but you know, I mean, I'll get over it.
Yeah,
they probably will be referenced.
If it's not, I'm going to be severely disappointed.
A little bit of news out of the Deadpool sequel filming, though.
The stunt woman.
The production has halted for a moment.
Rightfully so.
Because one of the stunt women died on set.
Was she Domino's?
I don't know.
Don't know. It looks like a motorcycle crash of some sort from the photos that I've seen. So he's a lot less shoulder paddy than his comic version. He has, you know, because in his comic version, he always uses...
Had these big, yellow, goofy fucking pauldrons,
yeah.
In the 90s, they loved them some pauldrons.
They did.
They were 110% shoulder armor.
And it was all about the two P's, pauldrons and pouches.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm sure you saw the...
damn it, Jim Lee.
Three P's, pauldron, pouches, and pecs.
Anyway, Nick.
And I'm sure you saw the teddy bear. Thoughts on that? He's got a teddy bear hanging from his belt. The big internet rumor is it has something to do with Hope Summers.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
She might be in the movie?
No, I hope not. Also, if they retool Hope Summers to be in Deadpool and then make her Cable's daughter, I'm going to probably
I don't think it would be the daughter story because she was never really never really family, but...
You're right over there, Rob.
Yeah, I'm good.
Go ahead, Rob. Say it.
Took me a second. It gets into a really convoluted X-Men storyline.
It's super bananas. Convoluted.
Right.
But the main statement is Hope is not and never has been and never should be considered Cable's daughter.
Agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I was agreeing with you, but he was kind of the
Sort of the uncle slash... Right. Surrogate father figure.
Well, my thought is if they do anything with it, it probably might just be a quick story about what he was doing or how he got, I don't know, or whatever, maybe how he got sucked into the time warp, I don't know, but I'm sure there'll be a quick something about it or he'll make a brief mention about it or... Otherwise, why does it...
Yeah, thank you.
I saw it flash across your eyes. I had to...
Otherwise, why would he have a teddy bear?
I don't know. I love the teddy bear. I think that's adorable. And I hope that at some point Deadpool recreates his last stuffed animal experience with it.
Gross.
Jesus.
Gross.
Yep. Gross. Gross indeed, but hilarious. And exactly what the movie would do.
Damn.
Just saying.
Deadpool 1 was a little gross.
No.
This is a little gross. It was gross in all the right ways, mind you. But it was gross.
So, I bought a movie recently, and it actually goes against what I normally do when I say that I buy a movie that I haven't seen in theaters. I really wanted to hate it, too. I really did, and I couldn't. It was Ghost in the Shell.
Huh.
I really wanted to hate it, but I could not. It follows the anime almost to a T, and the visuals in it are absolutely amazing. I actually kind of wish I would have seen it in a theater, and probably would have maybe seen it in 3D. My little, 50-inch or whatever pony. Size TV we have just... What?
Oh, you said my little and those pony.
Pony. Yeah. The little TV that I had just, I don't feel, did it justice. It was very slow, and I can see why people wouldn't like it, but that's what the anime was like. But the visuals were stunning, and there's a lot of references to the anime visually. And the only problem that I had is that Scarlett Johansson is, we all know her as, she's left-handed, and although they tried to make her right-handed in this movie, it didn't quite work.
I did not know Scarlett Johansson was left-handed.
I did not know how that could... Like, how is that... I guess I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know why that's a big deal, but...
It just looks funny on camera, because you can tell that she's left-handed, because she's, when she's holding a gun towards...
There it is.
When she's holding a gun towards...
That's how it's important to him. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying why it was annoying to me, Rob.
No,
I'm not trying to make a big deal about it.
No, I know.
You sound so angry about it. Like, it's like, oh, I'm the worst thing in the fucking world. I'm lost.
No. No, it's just... You are very good at pointing out when people are doing firearms incorrectly in films.
It's not
that's what I'm
getting
at. It's
not incorrectly.
To mediate.
Yeah.
To mediate. What happened was he was waiting for the ball to drop on what exactly was so weird about it and the fact that it was a firearm issue. Then it suddenly went, oh, of course. Okay, now I get it. That's something he knows. That's
why you know
I understand why that would bug
I'm sorry,
you. I don't think he was annoyed or mad about it. I think it was clicking and go, oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. That's definitely something he would be annoyed about.
It sounded different in my earbuds.
I love you.
Working together.
But no, because when she's coming, when they're filming and she's coming down the hallway
coming.
And she's holding the gun, you can tell that she's pulling it to her left eye instead of her right eye.
Oh,
I do that.
Oh, do you?
I'm right-handed, but I aim with my left eye because it's my better eye.
Because it's your left eye dominant, and that's and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just when you're filming it, they should have caught that and maybe not filmed at that angle or did whatever. But like I said, I really wanted to hate it, and I really couldn't. I mean, if you like the anime version, you're gonna like the live action version. Hmm. Did you see it?
No, I haven't. Oh. Have you?
No.
Right.
I just haven't had time.
Yeah.
There's still a couple of movies that apparently were stinkers that I'm really looking forward to watching. So.
Oh, really?
Like, I have a list of movies that didn't do great, but I still want to watch. Like, Ghost in the Shell is among them. Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see pretty bad, even though I heard it was terrible.
It was terrible.
I also want to see Passengers, even though I heard it was kind of dumb. And there was another one.
I've heard sad things about Passengers.
I do have an announcement, though. Speaking of terrible movies, the Friendship Smuggler team had a sit down with many drinks and watched The Room by Tommy Wiseau.
Briefly talked about it on their last podcast.
Yeah. Who talked about on what podcast?
Our last recording, we briefly talked about this
So we watched it, and it is fucking horrible, of course, but in a fun way. Like, this isn't a movie you just watch alone to be like, all right, how bad is this? This is a group activity, and it's actually really fucking fun to tear this movie apart and just go insane, like, why would you make that decision? Kind of a stuff, especially as a filmmaker.
Right.
You just... Here's all the things not to do. Don't hire Tommy Wiseau for anything. But it just... I have to admit, even though she was a terrible actress, I found myself... And the character was a terrible person. I found myself totally falling in love with the actress who played Lisa. Like, she was super cute. And I could tell she wanted to try so hard. Bless her heart.
And what was the premise?
But you can only do so much with the material you're given.
What's the premise of the movie?
That's a great question.
Good question, Nick. So the premise of this film, Tommy Wiseau plays Johnny, this character who is engaged to a woman named Lisa, who, after having the world's most awkward and nonsensical sex scene, girl's got it going on, Tommy Wiseau does not. He is the most out of shape, in shape person I've ever seen in my life. You can tell he works on his body, but it's just it nothing is formed right. He's a very interesting person to look at naked. So, beyond that. So, they have, like, they're engaged. He buys this red dress, and he has all these weird comments. And
I'm sorry. I'm still stuck back on.
So, anyway. So, the next day, her mother comes over, says she has breast cancer, and then they gloss over it because they have more important things to talk about. Lisa says that she's not in love with her fiancé anymore. He's too boring. And that she's actually in love with his best friend who lives right upstairs, but you don't find that out until, like, the last 20 minutes of the movie. Mark.
Spoilers.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Shut up. Oh, hi, Mark. And so the rest of the movie is just them sneaking around behind his back and just tons of things that don't make sense from, like, a logistical point of view. But that's the fun. They repeat a sex scene just to kind of stretch a sex scene because I'm willing to bet that the actress said no to another sex scene. She said, nope, that can't happen. So, at least with Tommy, she banged Mark a ton. But
why was this movie?
And, like, these, for not being a softcore porn, these sex scenes were obscenely long.
Like, boring? Like, you're like, all right, I'm bored.
Yeah. This is boring. I'm bored now. Oh, but there's your boob, though. For real. It was...
How much do you see? Like, how much do you see? Like, is it...
A lot. Huh? I mean, I don't see, like, penetration or anything.
I don't know, but I mean, like, is it, like, Skinamax porn where you, like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow. And there was not a single second where Tommy Wiseau's butt wasn't visible. Like, it's almost like that was, like the cameramen were contractually obligated or be fired to show his ass every chance they could during these sex scenes. And the fact that the crew was changed 3 times during production, I think that might be why.
Well, didn't Tommy write and direct it?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And then cast himself as a lead?
Yes.
Yep.
So pretty much he just wanted...
Who is he, Kevin Melnick? What a piece of shit.
So he just wanted to make this movie so he could have sex with these actresses?
Yep. So they do have a new movie coming out called Best Fiends. But you'll find out they're best friends because the R is in parentheses, where he maybe plays a vampire. We don't know. The trailer is super weird. Like, the trailer starts out making it look like it's really good because they got, like, a good director. But then it starts to get all... Tommy Wiseau-ish, and it falls apart from there. Like,
I like the idea.
Like, the guy who plays Mark is like, his family was kidnapped, and he's trying to learn karate so he can save them. Yeah, I know.
Sounds like a campy 80s movie.
Oh, it's the best. And so he's like, I can't teach you karate, but I can show you other things, because he sounds like a mentally handicapped version of fucking Christopher Walken.
I was gonna say,
on meth. It's phenomenal.
I'm just trying to that voice in my head. That's...
And so
mentally handicapped.
This guy, like, he goes off on, like, this adventure with weird, maybe vampire Tommy Wiseau, and, like, completely just buries the lead on, you know, his family being kidnapped, I guess, because he's fucking this other girl, and I don't know what's going on, but it looks hilarious.
And this is a recent movie coming out?
No, I don't think it's out yet.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Either way, I cannot wait to put The Disaster Artist into my life. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah,
and I did not hit her. It's bullshit. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Mark.
It was beautiful. Like, the only way you can get it is buying it directly from Tommy Wiseau, who I'm pretty sure just sends it from his house with autographed portrait of himself. I have a picture of it. And, like,
Jesus. Maybe that should be the cover photo for this episode.
Absolutely. So, like, that's the only way to see it. So Ian has it. I think we should all watch it. I'll watch it again. It was horrible, but like I said, it's movie? Fucking fun.
How long is this movie?
It's an hour and a half. Oh. Just shy of 2, maybe.
Jesus.
Yeah, and apparently there was a longer version.
Oh my god. So it's like Bad Dune. So
yeah, that's The Room.
The Room. What else? Game of Thrones? Man, we talked about this last time about how they're speeding through stuff,
and they're still doing it. I don't care. I'm loving the pacing.
Oh, I am too. But it's like they're really they're picking
they're
it up even.
Through the tree hole in this some bitch.
Yeah, they are.
Can we talk about how? And spoiler the fuck alert. Can we talk about the fact that Gilly dropped like a nuclear bomb of the entire show, and they buried it with steps and shit?
They did it on purpose.
Oh, I know. But like I was like, Rager, what?
Yeah, they did that on purpose. Apparently, the creators did that on purpose.
Oh my god! So yeah, like spoiler alert: Jon is the fucking king. Yeah, well, rightfully yeah. so.
But that was that's been a big fan no, rumor for a long time.
Oh, I know, but like the fact that
they
that,
dropped it. Yeah, yeah, that, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And then that R plus L equals J is yeah. now fucking confirmed. Shut up.
Wasn't it confirmed at the end of last season?
But like the
no.
fact that it,
well, not officially.
No, the casters know.
Yes, but also the fact that what's now confirmed is the fact that Jon is not a bastard.
Right, he's a Targaryen.
Well, we knew that, but
he's
we
half Targaryen. He's half Stark.
Right.
We thought that he was born out of wedlock, and now we find out that he is not.
Oh,
he is legitimately the king.
Awesome. Right?
But that hey, Daenerys, bend the knee.
But he won't take the throne.
I think they should co-lead. I don't think they should get
co-kings and
co-chief. Co-chief. Sparta did it.
Yeah.
Sparta had two kings,
yeah.
which is something they glossed over in 300. There was another king who was that watching over the town. While
well,
he
maybe
was
they might. Maybe they'll be the king of the north and the king of the south, and the queen of the south. And
I want them to just
no
kind of
no more of this warden shit.
Snuggle on the Iron Throne together.
But they're technically related. We discussed that.
Yeah,
it'll
but
be,
and, they're, well, they're gonna fuck.
They're gonna fuck. And then they brought Gingy back. Gingy.
They did.
Gingy. Yeah.
With Gendry.
Gendry. Him.
Gendry.
Whatever.
All
right. He, big fucking Thor.
I've learned to just go with what he says.
His big Thor hammer that he.
Oh, fought. Dude! That kid and his hammer.
I was so excited when I saw like you when he was like, "I have stuff to do in Flea Bottom," and then he leaves, and then he appears, and they show the blacksmith shop. I'm like, "Oh, here we go!" And then they were like, "You got to tell this story to Jon." He's like, right out of the gate, he's like, "No, I'm the bastard's son," and he's like, "I'm the bastard,"
and then. A bromance was instantaneous.
But it's
formed.
The same. They. I feel that they filmed it the exact same way that when in the very first episode when Stark and Numbnuts meet again.
Stark and Numbnuts.
They have the very same like facial reaction, same kind of encounter, and same kind of snarky comments, and just differences is that one is meeting for the first time, the other two have known each other for a long time.
He's talking about Robert Baratheon, by the way.
All right.
The chubby guy from Knight's Tale. Yeah.
I was going to think of his character's name, but I couldn't, so... But I was going to go with Knight's Tale.
Porkins. I got nothing.
Porkins.
Porkins.
But yeah, what else? The fight scene with Arya and Bran of Tarth. Brienne, when they did their little training thing. That was pretty badass.
There is a theory, and it's... So, in the books... Lady Stark comes back as a white.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. And so there is a theory that there was a nod to that and that she almost might come back in the show.
I want her to.
I know. Because there is a woman who looks exactly like her, wearing like a dress that she had, her long auburn
green
hair.
Dress, yeah.
When she says the word mother, she walks by in the background. And right. People are like, oh my God, it's her! She's back to save us all!
I have a feeling it was just an extra that just happened to be.
Maybe. But they do lots of weird, subtle shit like that, so who knows?
They do. It's true. And then the fucking A-team walking out into the north of the wall.
The D&D campaign, you mean?
Yeah.
Because holy shit,
yeah,
totally. That's a D&D campaign.
Oh, yeah. Totally. I lost
so
my shit when
Sunday.
When they were... I lost my shit when they all met, and then they're all telling how they knew each other, and like they're just now figuring out that they're all connected, that all of their stories have been connected this entire time, and is this the... This coming up Sunday, is this the last?
No, there's two more episodes.
Okay, right. And then six episodes.
Dear Bran Stark, I get this whole off at college, stoner, finding myself thing you've been doing, but you've got responsibilities. Get your fucking shit together, dude. We need you, okay? Fuck.
What do you think Littlefinger's up to with Arya there?
Fuck that fucking guy!
But he's trying to outsmart the fucking...
Oh, he is trying to play every single hand he can. I think he wants to be... okay, so A, he is uncomfortably obsessed with the Starks, with this whole fedora-wearing men's rights activist fucking friend zone shit he's got going on with fucking Sansa right now. So I think he is trying to put a wedge between her and Arya so that Sansa comes to him and he comforts her and he's, finally, you'll be mine. That way, when you're made Hand of the King, I will be your husband. I think he's trying to be like this in a position of power, like he always is. And I feel like Sansa is his best bet for that.
But Sansa's
because I think he knows that Jon is the true king. I don't know how he knows, but he always seems to have fucking information he shouldn't.
Skadoosh. He might. Well, then the only thing it took me I had to go back and watch it and pause it. But that note that she found, that was the note. All it was the note that Sansa had written. What's her brother? when she married Joffrey, that Joffrey was the king. That's all that note was. So why was it such a big deal?
I feel like Littlefinger is that player in a D&D campaign who's read all of the books and therefore knows a shit ton of knowledge that his character would never, ever fucking know. And so when it comes up and the Game Master calls him on it, he's just like, I know things. It's cool.
Looking at you, Mike, with your stupid bardic knowledge that you have to roll for every single situation ever. Ass.
I'm just saying, like that is my impression of Littlefinger at this point.
I mean, what's D&D? Football. That was convincing.
Basketball?
Right?
Sports. Sweet sports around here.
We'll get to that.
So, yeah, Game of Thrones is picking up with Jon Snow touching the dragon and Dragon.
Bro,
Mike.
This show's making me feel feelings.
Like, I didn't know you could do that anymore. I'm actually getting excited at moments. Like, I rarely get emotional and react to a television show, but I'm reacting to this television show.
I'm jumping around like a freak.
Yeah.
Like Vader coming out of the fog in Rogue One jumping.
Yeah.
When the
dragon came over the edge and the fucking people towards the Lannisters, I was like, oh, shit's going down, motherfucker.
And like fucking Drogon and Jon, and he's all like, who loves Kitty?
Wow, Robin Williams reference. I like it. Thank you. Who loves Kitty? Who loves Kitty? Who loves Kitty? Who loves Kitty? Sorry.
Oh, my dear God. Yeah, it's... fuck.
Fucking two episodes left. Fuck you.
I know. And then, well, then we have to wait, what, another fucking year for...
3,000 years, yeah.
I'll probably post a video to the A-Team opening that I sent to the group chat because I thought that was funny. I forgot they had that awesome guitar riff in the end. Like after that, the whole, yeah.
Sure.
It's good guitar riff. It's good 80s guitar riff, man, for opening. It's 100% the 80s.
I don't know what just happened.
Sorry for all the spoilers, man.
Oh, no, it's fine. I don't watch it. I'm sorry. I've tried. I really have. It's just... I know. I'm going to try again soon, but I just... It's that thing of, like, everyone is just around you just going, oh, my God, you need to check out this thing. This thing is amazing. And I'm just doubling down on, nope, not going to do it.
So good.
Sorry for that.
Isn't it more exciting to be able to, yeah, I can join the conversation?
So. No, I I'm okay with not joining the conversation. Because, A, spoilers don't bother me. But, B, I will get there in my own time.
I mean, that was me with The Office.
Yeah.
I avoided it for a really long time, and then I finally watched it and became obsessed with it.
I still have never seen The Office.
You really should. Like, yeah. The first... And, like, just fucking, like, start with season two. So I went back to watch the very beginning of The Office. Normally when I rewatch it, I start from, like, either late season one or the beginning of season two. Because somebody had posted something on the internet about the character in The Office you never knew existed for three seasons. And I thought it was like this weirdly crafted hoax, and fucking, she's real. And her name is Luann. And she exists in the show. She's just this weird background character who they never talk to. But she exists. She's in the show. And I'm like, really? I thought she was this weird like Blair Witch urban legend, but here she is.
Yeah.
But the first episode of The Office is really fucking bad. It's terrible. There are cuts that don't make sense. It's like fucking watching episode one of The Lair.
I was just gonna say.
Yeah, don't worry, I got there myself.
Yay.
But in my defense, how good is fucking episode 10 though?
That's good.
Right?
God.
And next season will be even better.
Oh God, next season is gonna be so good, guys. Shit.
Just shit,
says the creator and the co-star. I haven't seen a script yet. I have a script somewhere, but
I've been told not to read it because there's going to be edits.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I can't. I guess I can't read it. Yeah.
So, okay. I'm going to make an on-air deal with you. It is binding.
Okay.
All right? I will watch The Office. I will start at season two, like you suggest, but I will watch The Office in its entirety.
If I...
watch The West Wing.
Deal.
Deal.
Well, they shook hands.
Yep.
Hold on. A gentle grand agreement. Huzzah!
Now it's super official.
Yeah. So we'll come back to this next week. We'll talk about.
You realize you're gonna have Kevin an aneurysm by having him watch The West Wing.
I know, it's so much fun for me.
Because it's probably gonna be filled with a lot of political stuff that will drive you insane and make your head explode.
We'll do recaps. It's okay. I think we'll have to wait.
I'm actually going through 30 Rock right now.
So. Oh, okay.
Well, that's fair. When are we gonna have time? Now we're all working and then fest.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't sleep.
You have to watch the pilot before next episode.
Fair enough.
Okay? All right. And I will watch. You want me to watch the pilot or do you want me to watch season 2?
You know what? You kind of have to. I mean, it really does set everything up.
Okay, so.
From the beginning. The first episode is fucking painful. It does get better from there.
Okay.
But the first season is like seriously like 6 episodes, so.
Oh, okay.
You'll get through pretty quick.
It's kind of like Scrubs. I can't watch Scrubs right at the first episode. I've got to jump like 3 or 4.
Like going back and watching episodes, Scrubs, the first like it's really slapsticky with the sound effects. It is.
And that bothered me a little, but
I have to start like mid-season if I watch it at all, cuz usually when it was on Netflix, I'd always start at season 2. So I'm like, I know what happened. I got it.
That's fair. So yeah. You have to watch the pilot of West Wing, and I have to watch the pilot of The Office by the time we come back. Well, I'll take the first 2 episodes. That way we have the same amount of time on a program.
Right. Because hours. Anything for Nerd Grabs this week?
Yes. Oh, my God. I left them in my car, but I wanted to show you guys. No. I'll show you when we're done here. But so I work at a bicycle supplies warehouse.
Yes.
So a lot of my coworkers are cyclists and bike enthusiasts.
Say.
What?
You don't say.
Yeah, right? Weird. One of my coworkers, one of the seasonal guys actually, he's a college kid and he's going to school right now, but he bikes for the Edina Cycling Club. That's not very interesting, except that they got custom socks made for themselves that say Edina Cycling on them. And they're pink and black and covered in cake.
Pictures of cake?
Yeah, like pictures of cake with little bites taken out of them.
Oh, because they're cake eaters.
Yeah!
I get it.
Well, I could have told you that. I'm from Apple Valley. I get it.
I'm sorry. I love the fact that I now have a pair of cake eater socks, and it's delightful to me.
Drink.
Damn it. I've done like 3 episodes without saying it.
Good stuff.
Kevin was just waiting to go drink.
He's been waiting for like it's 3 episodes, like I said.
Aching for it.
It's like when you have a good hand in cards and you lay it down, you're like, boom, bitches.
Yeah, what he said was creepier.
So Ian, Crystal, and I decided to go to the Pixar exhibit.
Oh, yeah,
I saw that. The Science Museum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very, very cool. If you're in the area, definitely go check it out. You get to play with some computer-generated effects and make grass and stuff like that. It's pretty neat.
Oh, cool.
But they have a little gift shop, because I said, like, fucking get you! To where they had 2 limited edition lithograph prints.
Okay.
That you could get for $20 if you bought something. Otherwise, they were like $50.
All right.
20 a piece?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I bought a pop figure of Anger from Inside Out.
Nice.
Because we have decided that of Megan, Ian, and I, I'm Anger, Megan is Disgust, and Ian is Sadness.
So you're all the, like, secondary characters of that movie?
Are we not?
Yeah, but...
No, that pans out. I got it. Yeah.
But Anger is voiced by Lewis Black.
Yeah.
So,
the best.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm with
and
you.
He was, I mean, of the secondary characters, he was kind of the... And Sadness is the other main
Oh,
emotion.
Sadness. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And she kind of fucks everything up.
So, anyway. So, we've decided that we're those 3 figures, so we're just going to have a pop figure of it.
Nice.
But, that's what I bought in order to get this print. And the 2 were Up, which Crystal ended up getting, and I got a Merida one from Brave.
Oh,
and
nice.
It is fucking beautiful. Oh, it's a good print.
Like it's an original?
Yeah, it's a like a limited quantity sort of thing.
Oh, nice. Okay. Cool. Wow. I was trying to think what I got. I had something. Well, I was at Tooticon this weekend.
Oh,
this
there
past
you go.
Weekend. Which
I'm there too.
It, like it's not a lot. It's not a Facts of Life conference. No,
that's disappointing. Best con ever. Oh,
and just for one character, not all of them, just one.
Just Tootie.
Just Tootie.
Nobody gave
Get
a shit.
Get the fuck out of here, Natalie.
Yeah, Joe. Actually,
fuck Joe.
Yeah, I would've.
Blair.
Oh, Blair though.
Eh.
Joe.
Joe from Scrubs.
No, Joe
also
from
acceptable.
Joe yeah. from Scrubs is way.
She's into fatties.
Amen. She is. But wasn't? Oh, don't but they make a reference to Facts of Life about her being Joe?
Yes. No, because Joe is not her name. Her real name is Denise. He calls her Joe because she reminds him of Joe.
Joe right. from Facts of Life. Yeah. Right.
So I was at
little Butch. I like
two. The
games.
Number two D as in David Con. It's a gaming con that's relatively new within the Twin Cities. Maybe about 5 years old, 5-6 years old, I think. Much smaller than Convergence, although they're trying to be like Convergence, but it's not working out for them.
You didn't invite us, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you want to go and go to the panel?
Yeah, maybe I did.
You did not. You want to pay $35 to go in?
Maybe I did.
Did you?
Maybe I did.
Did you?
Maybe I did.
I think Kevin, the answer is no.
Kevin, did you?
Maybe I did.
Damn it. I was kind of hoping that if we triggered it off, he'd give us a straight answer.
Anyways.
sorry, it's I in thought the, Kevin would do something straight.
I'm it's in the everyone. Same hotel as Convergence, right. And they use like a third of it.
Oh, of course.
But it was very, it was kind of cool. Like you go upstairs where like we had our tables and stuff. They had a bunch of free arcade games, like old school.
Rad.
X-Men.
They had X-Men.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
They had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Which Turtles in Time.
Ah.
The one of the greatest arcade games of all time?
No. I don't know which one it is.
Simpsons.
No, they did not have Simpsons.
What? That don't want
to like,
go.
Like, that is, like, the number one have to have. It's fucking Simpsons, it's fucking X-Men, and it's fucking Ninja Turtles.
Also, the Terminator shooter.
Which but they only... The X-Men one, and I thought they had two versions of it, because they only had, like, the four-player one. And I thought there was a six-player.
There is a four and a six. There's
okay, they only had the four-player.
The six one is where they're assigned. Yeah. The four players where you can choose.
Okay, yeah. So it was only the four-player one. But still, they were
it was still
free games. And then an area for like indie gamers who are trying to get their games made.
Dazzler, who picks her?
No, nobody. And then they had like an area for card games, which is like the atrium area where the pool is. They had an area for just console gaming, and then they had a LAN party gaming thing.
I should have gone to this convention.
Yeah, that sounds really right? fun. Fucking invite us next time, bitch. Yeah.
You could have just gone. You knew I was going.
No, I didn't.
No, we didn't.
You did not tell us that you were going.
I've or that you were on panels with people.
I've mentioned it in past podcasts. I've mentioned it in past podcasts. I just picked the wrong weekend when I said I was going. I thought it was
oh, so even if you
August.
Had actually told us, you told us the wrong weekend purposely to keep us away? Nice.
Exactly.
Nice.
His face right now. Anyway, continue.
I don't even care. You guys, you should know what's going on in your nerd community. Not my fault you don't.
Anyways. Wow, he high-roaded us.
He totally did.
I totally did. So it was interesting. They had like an area for fan art stuff.
Same like
yeah.
The artist alley, which was like the main room. The main room was just divided into three areas. The main like hall where they, anyways. So I did our weapons panel again with Amanda and Lee.
Nice.
We did that. And then the panel after us was with Chris Cluey and I'm going to get these names wrong because I suck. Justin Courtney Pierce, or Pierre, sorry, from Motion City Soundtrack, and Andrew Reiner. He's the executive editor from Game Informer magazine.
Yeah. I knew Andy Reiner.
If you don't remember who Chris Cluey is, he used to be a Minnesota Viking. But apparently their meet and greet was like right after us. So I got talking to Chris Cluey, and he's a very nice and wonderful human being.
Yes,
he is a nice and wonderful human being.
Who hopefully, if I get it in time, he will have recorded by the time I post this, so he will be at the beginning. If not, I'll just edit this part out.
Save it for later.
Save it for later. Cool. Yeah. Just got him to get record a little. Hey, this is Chris Cluey, and you're listening to Best Threesome Ever. But I did get his personal email, and then I emailed him, and then he emailed me back, which was even cooler. I'm like, I was kind of like, oh my god, a celebrity emailed me back.
That's like pretty cool.
Not like his like assistant; it was like him.
The most interaction I've had with him was on Twitter. He had posted something about the the gun rights and stuff like that, and I had said something maybe a little bit to incite sort of a flame war, but. Like, on his side,
right.
But I knew that, he has a lot of football fans who follow him, and I knew they were going to be shitty, so, like, I think that was my, the most viral I've ever gone, like, in my life. Like, it got so many comments, and people were like, you're a fucking retard! I'm like, am I? Okay, cool. But, there's that.
And they all sounded like the Chicago Bears fans
exactly,
fans
yeah,
from SNL.
Absolutely. But Chris sent him like a comment. It was cool.
Yeah. He's a super nice guy. Super nice in person too. And
oh yeah,
was. I knew he was
a person for Minnesota, honestly. Right. Even though now he lives in California full time.
And he was there, and I knew he was a gamer, but I didn't know he was that big of a gamer.
Oh, his Twitter handle is Chris Warcraft.
Well, I'm not on Twitter anymore. And he was there advertising his new game called Twilight of Gods, which is a board player game.
Oh yeah, I've heard about this.
And he was talking about a lot of articles he's written. I'm really interested in his articles.
He's written a shit ton of social justice want to read articles.
Oh, I remember what I got. Under Crystal's advisement, I started listening to Ready Player One on audiobook. And it's very good. Because Crystal
said, that was before the podcast.
Before the podcast, yes.
I was like, you talked about this.
Well, Crystal told me a long time ago, before Convergence, that I should read it.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about books, and I'm like, I don't read books. And she's like, you should really read this Ready Player One. I'm like, what's it about? And she kind of told me, and I'm like, oh. Okay, so I finally got it on an audiobook. I've been listening to it, and so far, I'm really digging it. Like, I can't stop listening to
it. Who is it narrated by?
Will Wheaton.
You're welcome for that setup.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. And it's wow. And I laugh, and maybe it's because I was a kid in the 80s, and so I get it, a lot of the references. And it's just even the really weird, obscure ones, and I'm like, somebody
is a nerd.
Yeah. I'm like, yay! Like, I got, like, the Dungeons & Dragons references and the Atari stuff and the old ColecoVision stuff they talk about. I'm like, yep, played all those games.
Yeah, the movie should be really fun.
I can't wait. Yeah. I'm assuming, from the get-go there, he kind of screwed up because he says he's from Columbus. He's not actually from Columbus. He's from Atlanta, Georgia, or something like that.
Yeah.
But he moves to Columbus eventually in the movie, or in the book. I'm at that point in the book where he just moved to Columbus.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil anything, but it's really good. So if you're not a reader, like from somebody who's not a reader, audiobooks are probably the way to go, and this one's really good. Like, I can't stop this. And the next series I'm going to read is I'm going to do Harry Potter. So my friends have convinced me that the guy that, and I listened to a little bit of it, but the guy that narrates the Harry Potter books.
Jim Dale.
Yes. Is very, very good and does voices for all the different characters.
Yes, he does.
And he's has a Guinness World Record out there for most... different narrated voices or something to that extent.
In a single project, yes.
Right, yes.
It's like 81 or something.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. Anyways, yeah, he has become as much a part of the franchise for Harry Potter fans as, like, Daniel Radcliffe.
Sure. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yes, sir.
I'm kind of excited to listen to him because this Ready Player One is really good. So, and so you can thank Crystal for that you can tell her that I kind of told her already, but that I'm actually listening to it.
Nice. I'm not one for audiobooks. For some reason, they're not my bag.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. And the only audiobooks I've listened to in their entirety, and I was forced to on a road trip by my girlfriend at the time, were the Twilight books.
Ew.
Which, from an audiobook standpoint,
on an audio podcast.
From a standpoint of how they're done, I really liked the woman who was reading them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was very talented. They're actually a little bit more enjoyable than the books and or the movie, which I mean, a little bar, but still,
you're right.
Like if you have to do Twilight, like if it's a dare or something, do the audiobooks. They're at least they're semi.
You lose a really big
they're semi pleasant.
Yeah. The only other book that I've ever done on audio was American Sniper. And I did not like the guy that narrated that. I don't know why, but I just didn't like I don't know. But it was still a good book, but I just didn't like the guy's voice.
I do a lot of audiobooks now. Yeah. Like I said, I work a warehouse job, and so I get to have headphones in all day long, so I have a subscription to Audible, so I pick up a book.
I feel like if I had that kind of opportunity at work, I would too, but I just I don't.
Yeah.
Mine's mainly my drive to and from work, and like today I was listening to it all day because I was adulting around the house and doing adult things and getting in my room, getting stuff ready for Fest. And
lately my work drive music has been Kesha. So.
Right. My drive all the way here was Kesha.
But speaking of books and being formatted to movies, Good Omens is now being made.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
with
I did hear
David
about
Tennant
this.
As the fucking Crowley.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, this
and,
was the,
and Michael and Martin Sheen as... I can't think of the character's name now. Fucking Azrael.
Azrael?
Azrael.
Azrael.
Yes, it's like Azirapale. my spelling bee days are suiting me correctly.
Okay. I don't know. I've never read Good Omens.
Look it up!
He's Martin Sheen.
Yeah, the angel who goes to Earth and is... Yeah.
But Michael Sheen.
Michael and Martin Sheen.
Right, but they're not related.
They're not related. They're not. That's the best part.
That's
but I love Michael Sheen.
But they look related, by the way.
They do. I do love Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen looks like a like post-heart attack Martin Sheen.
Have you seen Emilio Estevez lately? He looks fucking exactly like Martin Sheen now.
Yeah.
Like, I want...
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, I don't watch it, but if they were to redo the West Wing, get Emilio.
Yeah, yeah. No, actually, there have been... A ton of ideas tossed around on the internet, including a prequel series involving
Emilio.
Well, involving Martin Sheen's character, John Spencer's character, and who's the other one? Alan Alda's character from the last season.
Oh my God, he totally does look like.
Or no, not Alan Alda. John Amos. the three of them before they were in politics, and they've talked about it, and they're just like. What if we cast Emilio Estevez?
Wow.
And I love that idea, because yes, he looks exactly like Martin Sheen.
He really does. I'm looking at photos of him
right
now. He really does. This photo especially, but I think that's just a bad photo, but this is from, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, he looks like a very young Martin Sheen.
He does look like a very young Martin Estevez.
Well, yes.
Estevez.
Ramon Estevez.
Actually. Ramon Estevez.
Estevez. Not Estevez. Estevez is how he pronounces it.
I just got mansplained, y'all.
I'm sorry. I have Martin and Emilio's memoir that they wrote together on audiobook. That's one of my audiobooks, actually.
There you go.
And that's how he pronounces it. It's very good, by the way, if you ever want to pick it up. You also, if you've never seen the movie The Way, you should.
The Way.
The Way. The book is called Along the Way, and the filming of the movie The Way, which is directed by Emilio and stars Martin.
Emilio!
Stop it.
Although I have been watching BattleBots, that's totally horrible non sequitur.
So yeah, Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez.
I thought I was feeling nostalgic about the late 90s, early 2000s. I was thinking of Emilio Estevez, and I was thinking about BattleBots, because the top four is tonight. Playing for the big nut.
Wizard.
That's what they're fighting for, this big...
I know, it's golden nut trophy, I guess.
Silver. Yeah, well, it's silver. Yeah. I don't think it's gold.
It's clever. It looks like a giant metal bolt nut thing. Sorry.
Nut, yes.
Bolt? What?
No, not a bolt.
It's the thing that screws into
the nut. It's this thing that screws into the bolt, which is a nut. Yeah. I'm not explaining to you. I'm explaining to myself to make sure I understand myself.
This fucking guy.
Sorry. I wasn't... That time I was not explaining to you.
Was there anything else, Kevin? Did you have any nerd grabs?
Yeah.
Yeah. He told you.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
It's the movie, The Good Omens one?
Okay.
Wow, no, before that.
Why am I blanking? Yes. I'm totally blanking.
But that's okay, so
oh, the prince, right.
Oh, yeah. The Lithograph.
Right, yes, you did. Sorry. Oh, I'm tired. I've been sick for the past week.
Right. And
of course, we're starting Fest. So that'll...
So I guess that's a good segue into talking about stuff we're doing.
Yeah, Fest.
So this weekend... or this past weekend, we started Fest.
Yeah, by the time you listen to it,
we're already the next weekend.
Hell.
Yeah, we're already in hell, and the next weekend is second weekend. Come see us at Fest. It's actually all three of us is last year at the Stocks.
Yeah. So other than that, in October, we'll be at Anime Fusion.
Yeah.
We will be there for three panels. I need to submit those. But we will be there, so you can look for us there.
I'll be there.
Right.
I'll be there.
Oh,
just call my name.
Drink.
And I'll be there.
Drink.
Don't you know?
Jesus, stop. Oh, my God. What else? Anime Fusion, 20th and the 22nd.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that for a second.
we have anything else coming up? Oh, the Layer's got some funny stuff coming up. You're going to be setting up.
Yeah, we're going to be releasing some blooper reels from the show.
I can't wait.
We have an entire supercut of every time Nick interrupts his line because he forgot by going, fuck! And it's fucking beautiful.
Is there a supercut of my improvs? Because
we have basically, because we had to cut so many of your, like, especially the name bit.
Oh,
we have
the
entirety of that bad boy in there.
So how are you gonna put that on YouTube? You're gonna beep out all the time I say fuck. Because otherwise it's going to be one title.
I mean, or entire not pick. Monetize the episode.
Or not monetize the episode and just let it run free.
Yeah.
Run free, little rabbit.
Run. Run, little rabbit.
Run, little rabbit, run.
I can't wait to see that.
That's how I do
it. I can't wait to see all the bloopers, to be honest with you, because I vaguely remember some of them being just absolutely hilarious. Do we have a super cut of Megan getting hit in the head with the phone?
Well, there's not really a way to super cut that because it only happened once.
That one.
And a super cut by definition is something happening multiple times and you cut it together really closely.
So I was let me rephrase. The
but
one
but we do have her getting biffed in the head and it's that's like that was like priority numero uno.
Right. Do you have the one who,
that was like the first like okay we need a blooper reel moment in the show.
Was it Mike that put together with the Mario Super music?
Mario? Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah. Okay. You should post that. Because it was funny. Poor Megan's head. Sorry, Megan.
I don't know. I don't feel bad.
Sorry we're laughing at your Schadenfreude.
She took one for her art.
She did.
I'm proud of her.
And when we can afford stunt people, by God.
Schadenfreude. What else? Anything else with the layer coming up now?
No, that should be the only thing coming up for the lair. I myself did have an audition, but too many important people decided to also try out, so I got bumped. But they do still want an audition tape from me. I feel I charmed them enough in my emails. But to be the new PA announcer for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, yes, so hopefully that will pan out. I mean, if it doesn't, whatever, but I'm finally trying to get my name out there, and we'll see what happens with it, because I think it'll be fun, especially when I get my smarmy voice on. So, see how that goes.
It's beautiful.
All right, I would just out of curiosity, I would like it if you could introduce Nick onto the basketball court.
Absolutely not, because I'm not your monkey, and you've been really mansplaining this episode, and you haven't deserved it.
Mansplaining. Glad he's not manscaping on the episode. Anyways, you can check out us and everything else, geekmynumbers.com. You can check out us. You can check out Villain Coffee Hero Tea, the new podcast that I'm producing, which is very good. They're in their third episode. Yeah. They just got onto iTunes and Google Play, so good for them. And what else? We have Digital
and
Vellum.
Check out Digital and Vellum.
Late to the Party. The Lair.
Which is now officially on a hiatus.
Officially on a hiatus now. Okay. When do you have a possible comeback date?
We're looking at middle of September, but we might push it all the way until the end of Fest.
I'm going to start a new podcast called Late to the Party, but spelled slightly different so that doesn't infringe on any rights.
Actually use the word two instead
of
the number.
Yeah, instead of the number, yeah.
Oh.
Welcome to Late to the Party.
No, we actually
extremely
do
a reliable guide to nerddom.
An extremely
reliable guide to nerddom.
It would have to be tardy to the festivities.
Well, sometime. Never mind. I won't make that joke. Sorry. I was going to make a tardy joke, and I didn't want it to sound inappropriate.
Oh yeah, no, I see what you mean.
I wasn't. I didn't want to do it. Yeah. So.
Boom, 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 boom.
I edited myself without having to edit myself, which is. By the way, being an editor, when you record podcasts...
It's the worst!
It is, because all I do is I'll hear somebody say, and even in like real life, I'll hear people say, I'm like, that's an edit. Like, edit, I'll have to edit that later.
Oh, Nick.
No.
No. Just editing you is very similar, unaware.
I'm sure it is. I don't doubt it one bit. I don't doubt that one.
Either
bit.
There's too many pauses or not enough.
Well, then tell me that one
wow,
was recording.
He turned those three sentences into one.
Oh, trust me, I have a list for season two.
Well then, whatever. I'm not surprised. Though. I'm honestly not. That doesn't surprise me at all because I remember recording a lot of things and going, I don't feel good about that. Can we do it again? Anyways, what else? Geek by numbers.
I think we're good.
I think we are good. So yeah, this has been Best Threesome Ever, sponsored by Minds Like Comics and Egan. I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
And that's all, folks.
The views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not directly reflect the views of nerds everywhere.